Welcome in, everybody, to the 130th episode of the Westside Sports Podcast. It is October 15th, 2024. As always, I am your host, Dakota Esri. Welcome in to the podcast. Please do me a huge favor if you enjoy the content and the overall conversation. Please subscribe, leave a rating. All that would be greatly appreciated. Today, we're going to react to the two big blockbuster trades that have happened in the NFL this morning with Devontae Adams being traded to the New York Jets, reuniting with Aaron Rodgers for the gangrene, and then also Amari Cooper being traded to the Buffalo Bills. And then we're going to have a sit-down, unpleasant reality check conversation with where we are six games into our NFL Seahawks season. Let's just get right into it. As everybody's been talked about, the big news of the morning was the announcement that the New York Jets and the Las Vegas Raiders, I have to get used to saying Las Vegas, I almost said Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders have traded superstar wide receiver, I don't know if he's technically a superstar, but damn it, he's good as hell, Devontae Adams, being shipped to the New York Jets for a third round pick that could possibly be turned into a conditional second round pick depending upon if he makes all pro team, pro bowls, performances, blah blah blah. The Jets just said, pardon my French, fuck this contract. We're done. Or the Raiders, excuse me. They're like, no, we don't want any of this smoke. We don't want to pay you. He is due on the hook for the next two seasons, $36.75 guaranteed $1 million. It's a lot of dineros, it's a lot of pesos, it's a lot of money, right? Is he worth it in my opinion? Hell no. I said it, I'll say it again. Hell no. Devontae Adams is not worth $36 million. You know why they're doing this, ladies and gentlemen? You know, in the grand scheme of things, why the New York Jets are acting like they're desperate lovers, waiting for their ex-girlfriend to come through the front door again? Aaron Rodgers is pissed. He's pissed. He says Mike Williams is a bum. And the reason why I say Mike Williams is a bum, literally 3 minutes after that trade was announced, Jordan Schultz, who is a NFL reporter, does a great job for a CBS network, NFL network, blah, 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 right? CBS Sports, excuse me. He wrote out and announced that the Jets now have a, quote, crowded receiver room. So they're going to be trading Mike Williams after they signed him to a one-year deal. No, it's not Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to throw the football to you because you suck, Mike Williams. Let's just keep it straight. If you were catching the football for the Jets, they would keep you. But when they pay you $20 million, I don't know, I think he got like $18 million, right, in the offseason on that one-year deal. They pay you all that money. You don't do shit. What do you think is going to happen to you? They're going to cut your ass. Especially when they're paying Devontae Adams $36 million for the next 2 years, assuming that they pick that up. I'm guaranteeing that they will. Assuming Aaron Rodgers doesn't retire after this year, which I don't expect to happen. This is the big news. Devontae Adams is a Jet. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Who gives a crap? If you live in New York, you praise, you holler, amen, eureka, whatever word you want to use, right? We're out here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't care about the Jets. I sat last night and just enjoyed Josh Allen showing Aaron Rodgers how to perform and play the position of quarterback in the NFL. Can Aaron Rodgers still make throws? Yes. Can Aaron Rodgers still sling the football like he could inside of his 20s? Yes. Is he still a crazy man, though, at the end of the day? Yes. There is a theme. The only reason why the New York Jets made this trade today is because their new GM of football operations, Aaron freaking Rodgers, told them I needed my boy and go get it done. Find a way. I don't care what it costs. Go do it. So that was the first part of today. And then the last 20-ish minutes ago, it was announced that Amari Cooper, for the third time in his career, has been traded to the Buffalo Bills for a third round pick. That seems to be the value currency. We're going to talk a little bit about values of wide receivers in a little bit later in the podcast. But Josh Allen gets another weapon. And quite frankly, this is a weapon that isn't ball hawk hungry. Stephon Diggs was a petulant child that would throw fits like Antonio Brown when he didn't catch the football. Facts are facts. You were in Minnesota. Stephon Diggs wasn't good enough. Didn't get enough targets. Adam Thielen, blah, blah, blah. Cry, baby, cry. Send you to Buffalo. First couple years, things are great. Then they start getting Mac Hollins, and then they get all these other wideouts, and Shakir is his name, right? They have all kinds of weapons. So therefore, he throws a baby, you know, acting like a crying, petulant baby, excuse me. Then they trade him again. So this kind of seems to be a theme with wide receivers and not catching the ball, which is funny because I'm going to transition this into a Seahawk conversation, right? We've heard a lot of conversation for the last couple weeks about one DK Metcalf. And I'm going to give a cursor a heads up ahead of time that this little next 5-10 minutes is going to be pretty passionate. It's going to be pretty fiery. So if you don't like, you know, I'm going to try and keep the spurring at a minimum, but it's not going to be clean. DK Metcalf, we gave you a contract extension because you were one of the most God-given, freakishly talented athletes to walk the fucking planet to play football, okay? You have never been able to use the hands that God gave you, that you were born with. You catch the football with your chest. You act like you're supposed to be Tim Duncan or Kevin Garnett in basketball in like 2011 years, okay? You play football. You're a wide receiver. Catch the football. And you know, it's like, I hear from a lot of people. I've heard it from Mike Salk on Seattle Sports Radio, 710. I've heard it from the KJR guys, right? This guy who initially, and I'm not trying to eviscerate this man's character, but he needs to understand how the fans, I'm sure he thinks he knows how the fans feel about him, but I'm going to give him like a specific Skagit County perspective. You came into the NFL wearing a pacifier in your fucking mouth like a child. A colored binky. It was part of your persona. As a full grown man, but in hindsight, clearly a full grown man would not be wearing a fucking pink pacifier as a wide receiver. He did. It drove me crazy. I fucking hated it. Right? And Dingo, don't get me wrong. DK Metcalf is an incredibly talented football player. He runs a 4.3 40. He's the mini Megatron who can't catch, whatever it is, right? I'm using a lot of can't catch references because the dude can't catch the fucking football. He just can't. DK Metcalf leads the NFL in lost forced turnovers at the wide receiver position since he was drafted in the league with AJ Brown. These are facts. And he's saying about how he wants to be paid like one of the top wide receivers in football. You know who steps up week to week? Justin Jefferson. You know who steps up week to week? CeeDee Lamb. You know who steps up week to week? Jamar Chase, right, who's had a struggling year, but he had a great bounce back last week. There are dudes, Mike Evans, who show up every single fucking week and show up and play the position. They don't get on the headset. They don't yell at Grubb, the offensive coordinator, "I need the football." Well, how about you catch the fucking thing first? Rocket science genius. I've sat here for 4 years watching this man who every time something does not go his way, slouches on the bench, doesn't want to talk to his quarterback, gets on the headset yelling at the offensive coordinator, gets in the face of the wide receiver coach. Do me a favor. I know that the football is a passionate alpha sport. Sit your stupid ass on the bench and shut your mouth. Mike McDonald, I would be totally okay. Send a message. You think it's acceptable to grab the headset and berate your offensive coordinator because you play a dependent position that is reliant upon the quarterback throwing you the ball, which for 90-ish percent of the time, Geno Smith does a damn good job of, DK. But you don't catch the damn ball. How about you go over to your quarterback and try and pick him up when he's having a rough day versus sit on the bench slouching like you're a petulant 11-year-old who didn't get their Dino Nuggets and their Sherbert ice cream for freaking dessert after dinner. Give me a break. I'm so sick of this bullshit with this man. And this is where I get to with trade things. Trade DK Metcalf immediately. I said it with my chest. You want to be the kind of team that Mike McDonald wants to be? You are a smash-mouth team who runs a football that has an offensive line that strikes the fear of God in it into people? That's not going to happen with players like Anthony Bradford, with Laken Tomlinson, who can't stop a wet fucking paper towel. They can't, because they suck. Stone Forsythe, fun fact for you, leads the league in pressures allowed since he came in for George Fant. 32 pressures allowed this season already. The closest next to him in the league is 19. What the hell, man? Abe Lucas, can you play football? Is it physically capable for you to return this year? Yes, I understand it's only week 6. Yes, I understand there's 17 plus weeks inside of a football season. Yes, I understand that we could get this man back later in the season and things would be perfectly fine on the offensive line, probably. We haven't heard a single word about Abe Lucas. It's like the Regenikine circle of trust healing thing with Pete. Weird shit. Like, can we, as the fans, as the community that creates the content for this organization, can we just get a little bit of info about what's going on with this football team? You said last week, after we got our pants pulled down by Daniel fucking Jones and the New York Giants, embarrassing, came in here and ran the ball and shoved the football down our throats all night long. Oh, they don't have Malik Nabers. We should be able to handle this. We can't stop a damn thing on defense right now. 200 plus yards allowed rushing against the Niners. 150 allowed the last 3 weeks consecutively. What in the actual hell is going on with this organization? Am I freaking out right now? Yes. But everything I am saying is true. I'm not saying a lie. I'm not making up a narrative. I am simply stating what I've watched for 6 weeks. First 3 weeks of the season, it was pretty stout defense. We were flying around in Denver week one. New England was kind of a little bit worse. And it gets a little bit worse and a little bit worse and worse and worse. And I watched guys like Jerome Baker getting swallowed. I watched Terrell Dotson getting just engulfed at the line of scrimmage. Right? I don't know if it's we don't have the players for the scheme or maybe we need more Terrell Dotson at linebacker. I don't know. But getting back to the whole like identity conversation with this team, you can't have a wide receiver who gets paid $30 million. It doesn't fit for this organization. I don't care. The Seahawks run the football and have Doug Baldwin's, Jermaine Curse's, Golden Tate's, who fucking lead this team with pride, who do this team the right way. If you were to walk up, if I had a microphone, and I'm walking up and down the streets of Seattle, and I ask people who are roughly my age, 20s to 30s, right? Who's your favorite wide receiver as a Seahawk? I bet you dollars to donuts, 90% of the people say Doug Baldwin. Scrappy, tenacious, played the game the right way, got in the quarterback's face, let him know, look, dude, you lead us to darkness. You lead us to light through the darkness. You have to lead us. That's the kind of leader, that's the kind of player, and that's the kind of wide receiver this organization needs. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you have been MIA all season. dropping balls, looking disconnected, looking like you're not in sync. I don't know what's going on. Ryan Grubb brought in this offense from University of Washington that I was praising like everybody else saying. This offense is supposed to be prolific. We saw this happen in college. Now, granted, I understand people are going to say, hey, dude, not every time you bring in somebody from college is going to translate straight to the NFL. I understand that. But it was a fucking professional offensive scheme in college with Ryan Grubb. It wasn't collegiate. Spread the ball out all across the field, allowing numbers throughout the hash marks are wider, the field's bigger, throws are easier to be able to be completed. I understand that conversation. I do. However, when you have what was touted as one of the top five receiving cores in all of football this year with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, you need to figure this out and do it now, Ryan Grubb. 59 rushing yards, right? You said we were going to run the football with conviction and figure it out this week. The Niners' run game is not what it's been defensively the last few years. They are susceptible to the run, especially against a light box, meaning you have less defensive tackles, more safeties in the box around the line of scrimmage, right? Which they used a fair amount in this game. Malik Mustafa was flying around, right? 59 rushing yards. I just don't understand. You spend 2 second round picks on Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet. And Ken Walker is a fine football player, and Zach Charbonnet is Zach Charbonnet right now. It's not to be disrespectful to Zach. He does what he's asked to do. It's just, it's not the most flashy thing in the world. I'm sitting here watching the running backs like Ray Davis, whoever the fuck it was for the Bills last night, running up and down and having 160 all-purpose yards, saying, why can't we do this? Like, yeah, you have Josh Allen. Cool. Geno Smith can throw the football. It's not the same arm talent, obviously, but he can throw the football. So why can't we see this kind of production? Why can't we see more Tom Brady dump passes going out of the backfield, wheel routes, just basic Texas routes? I don't want to get all technical if people get all confused and stuff, right? But like, pretty basic concepts. None of this is happening. It's like, oops, sorry, I know this doesn't sound great, like, you know, with repeating myself, right? Ryan Grubb wants to have a prolific passing offense with a sprinkled in mixed run game. You throw the ball 40 plus times the last 3 consecutive games. How are you supposed to have any semblance of a balanced offense when Geno Smith is throwing the ball more than 40 times a game? I don't understand. This team leaves me baffled. It leaves me confused. There's many times I just sit here in my chair just scratching my head asking myself, what is this? What are we doing? Special teams, besides for a LaVisca Chenault touchdown, has looked like dog shit this year. Kicking wise has been okay. Punting wise has been decent. Michael Dixon's been mostly Michael Dixon. Jerick Reed returning from IR this week. That's a huge addition. I'll take that, right? But it gets to a point in time where the conversation is beginning to be had of, do we have the right people coaching-wise? Not saying McDonald. I'm going to make that abundantly fucking clear, okay? It's not, I'm not questioning McDonald. I'm questioning his assistants. I'm asking, do we have the guys to teach the scheme that McDonald wants to run? Add in dirty. I think this is the time where you need to lean on more of Leslie Frazier and his experience and his coordination background, right? But it gets to a point in time where we have to ask the question of, who are these Seattle Seahawks? Who are they? I don't know right now. I thought I had a decent idea first few weeks in the season of who maybe they would be this year. And then it's been a complete nosedive flip. You have no run defense. Your pass defense is tested. You're injured. Murphy's been out. Byron Murphy's been out for multiple games. Tariq Woolen was out for this last game. Devin Witherspoon continues not to be thrown out. You know, it's a league of, you know, understands how good he is. Trey Brown's been absolutely cooked. He has not looked good. It's been very disappointing. Nehemiah Pritchett, the 7th round pick or 6th round pick out of Auburn, he's been a rookie. So it's kind of hard to dictate what is this team? Where do we stand? You know, 9 penalties in this game is too much for me. For me, that's 5 more penalties than I'd like. I can accept maybe 4 penalties a game. That's pretty clean football, 4-ish penalties. But you look at the teams that are playing well right now. Washington is playing really well right now, even though they came off of a loss versus the Baltimore Ravens. That team is firing on all cylinders. The Chiefs somehow are playing like the Chiefs. The Bills, we saw a lot of last night. They're teams that show up a template and a way to play the style that we're capable and want to do. You just have to be able to execute. And if you don't execute, like Geno Smith does, and I'm going to end this with a little bit of a funny, questionable expression, phrase here, and this will be the last time you hear any colorful language in this podcast today. What the fuck are we doing? Are you going to wake up? You're going to smell the roses? Smell the coffee? It's been burning like in Starbucks like they do and sell to a bunch of people in Seattle all the time? Don't drink the burnt roast. Brew it right. Execute it properly. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the reward. Reap the reward. Right? But in order to get the reward, you need to execute properly. And until that happens, I sure hope this bumpy ride, you know, levels itself out, because golly, my butt's getting tired of hitting the hard plastic seats there on like the Thunder Mountain Railroad there in Disneyland with this crazy ride. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be today's podcast. This is no Mariners today. I'll be having a separate podcast going over Gold Gloves and my conversations with that conversation, which I might just make into like a TikTok or something. But anyways, if that's something you guys are curious in, please do me a favor. Reach out to me on Twitter or formerly Twitter, now X, at capital PNW Professor. You can find me there. And please do me a favor again. If you enjoy this conversation, the overall rhetoric and topics I bring to you on a now almost day-to-day basis, subscribe, leave a rating. Greatly appreciate it. Until then, God bless. Go Hawks. Go Mariners. And for the love of God, Mike McDonald kick some ass this weekend. Peace.